Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Civility in a divisive world. Everywhere we turn these days, we see and hear the reminders of a world divided on so many issues. Social media is full of heated debates and angry words. God, help us remember that we are made in your image. Guide our words toward civility and wisdom in discourse and discussion. Teach us as people of faith to model love for our neighbors in all conversations, whether public or private. You have called us to be salt and light to our nation and to the world. Empower us to be peacemakers with our words. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Church, nestled in rolling green hills, 13-year-old Taylor Hale and her grandmother Nancy help important guests prepare for church.
Ooh, this looks like a polar bear.
He is a teddy bear, and yes, he's going to church, along with his fluffy stuffed brethren. Each one bears a special message of support.
And combining the love of the people that gave it to you and people that are praying for you.
That message made all the difference for Wayne Johnson, who received a bear from Taylor after news that he might not live to see another spring here in Elk Creek, Virginia.
Hey, you brought your bear.
Yeah, sure did.
Johnson beat a rare kidney cancer. He came to Mount Zion United Methodist Church to thank folks for their prayers and the huggable reminder that he was never alone in his illness.
And I knew I was literally sitting there dying. I had a company of coal mines and I couldn't even go run. And here come Taylor. She was so thrilled that she had got me this bear.
The bear arrived with a message.
It says it has heard the word, read and taught prayers, prayed, and songs of praise sung. It now comes to you with prayers for your comfort, strength, and healing.
Good morning.
Sitting beside 94-year-old Miss Esther, clutched in the arms of a 9-year-old or perched in pews, these bears will lead this service to begin service.
If theirs does, like I said, 1/10 or 1/100 of what mine is for me, there'll be people going through life with a different outlook.
I believe that you have someone in mind pick up one of these little bears. They're going to depend upon you to put them into ministry.
Everybody needs hope. This bear is a lot of hope. Give me one of them.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Slow me down.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Oh,
Praise be the nurses and doctors, every medical staff bent over flesh to offer care, for lives saved and lives lost, for showing up either way. Praise for the farmers tilling soil, planting seeds so food can grow, an act of hope if ever there was. Praise be the janitors and garbage collectors, the grocery store clerks and the truck drivers barreling through long, quiet nights. Give thanks for bus drivers, delivery persons, postal workers, and all those keeping an eye on water, gas, and electricity. Blessings on our leaders making hard choices for the common good, offering words of assurance. Celebrate the scientists working a way to understand the thing that plagues us, to find an antidote, and all the medicine makers. Praise be the journalists keeping us informed. Praise be the teachers finding new ways to educate children from afar, and blessings on parents holding it together for them. Blessed are the elderly and those with weakened immune systems, all those who worry for their health. Praise for those who stay at home to protect them. Blessed are the domestic violence victims on lockdown with abusers, the homeless and refugees. Praise for the artists and poets, the singers and storytellers, all those who nourish with words and sound and color. Blessed are the ministers and therapists of every kind, bringing words of comfort. Blessed are the ones whose jobs are lost, who have no savings, who feel fear of the unknown nine. Blessed are those in grief, especially who mourn alone. Blessed are those who have passed into a great night. Praise for police and firefighters, paramedics, and all who work to keep us safe. Praise for all the workers and caregivers of every kind. Praise for the sound of notifications, messages from friends reaching across the distance. Give thanks for laughter and kindness. Praise be our four-footed companions with no forethought or anxiety, responding only in love. Praise for the seas and rivers, forests and stones who teach us to endure. Give thanks for your ancestors, for the wars and plagues they endured and survived. Their resilience is in your bones, your blood. Blessed is the water that flows over our hands and the soap that helps keep them clean each time a baptism. Praise every moment of stillness and silence so new voices can be heard. Praise the chant of slowness. Praise be the birds who continue to sing the sky awake each day. Praise for the primrose poking yellow petals from dark earth. Blessed is the air clearing overhead so one day we can breathe deeply again. And when this has passed, may we say that love spread more quickly than any virus ever could. May we say this was not just an ending, but also a place to begin.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Matthew's Virtual Worship Service. And you may have noticed that I'm not Pastor Janu. Pastor Janu is taking some well-deserved vacation and sabbatical time. And so we want to keep him and Haywan, his partner, and his son Joshua in our prayers as they enjoy that time. And we just want to take this moment here at the beginning to welcome everybody. I should probably introduce myself because some of you may not know me. My name is Joshua Lundy Whitler. I've actually been part of this community for about 8 months now, it's hard to believe. And part of that is that was all kind of happening as the pandemic was beginning. So there's many of you that I haven't had the pleasure or opportunity to meet face to face. And, you know, it's been amazing to be able to come together in this virtual way. I know it's been really a challenging 8 months, 9 months now, and it's just been wonderful to see this community come together in spite of it all. So I want to welcome you to this space wherever you're coming from, whether you're a part of this community regularly or if this is your first time. Let me be the first to say welcome. And we want to also say that no matter who you are and no matter where you're from, no matter where you are in your life journey, wherever you are in your faith journey, you are welcome in this place, in this virtual space. And I wanted to begin this morning by just taking some breaths. Take some deep breaths just to welcome the day and to welcome the Spirit of God into this space, this virtual space. Because even though we're separated, we are also together. We're in the chat room right now. We're also in our homes, but our hearts and our minds are together in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that unites and connects us and binds us together. So take a moment to breathe just with me. And if you're in a place right now where you can breathe without a mask on, wonderful. Enjoy that fresh air. And if you're in a place where you need to be wearing a mask, you can breathe a little harder. You need a little more grace this morning. Breathe in and breathe out, and maybe even just raise your arms up, open yourself up to the Spirit of God. Welcome God into your space. There's nowhere else that you have to be right now. There is no past or future right now. There is just the present. There's just the now, you and God and the community of God in worship. Together, we are the light of the world. In our homes, we are still the light of the world. We carry with us the light, the power, the flame, the love of God. Together, we are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Even though we are separated, we are united. We are connected. Thank you, God, for connecting us and binding us together this morning. May we join together our hearts and minds and spirits in worship with you. And may you fill us up, as well as may we recognize the grace that unites us, so that we may be motivated and compelled to serve and to love and to live out in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, the days are short, the weather is cold, and we feel isolated. With our restrictions, it's harder to find meaningful routines. There's more space for worries to intrude into our thoughts. But hopefulness is in the air, and we ask you to strengthen us with this hope and ask for your peace that passes understanding. Teach us to seek and see and appreciate the gifts of now and to feel the promises of the future. Help us to know and feel your steadfastness and love for us. Let us believe the inspiring words of poet Amanda Gorman, for there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. We pray that you help us see and be this light in our own lives and for the life of all in our country and for the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning again, everybody. I'm here live. Isn't that cool? I invite all people of all ages, children, youth, adults, and families, to join us for this children's time, time for all ages, in fact. And I'm here live with you, which is pretty exciting. That's something new. And actually, we're going to try and do this a little bit more. It'll be usually another friend. Somebody else is going to come and share from a space like this. We'll begin that sometime in February to begin to share some children's times with you as well. I keep saying children's times. I mean to say time for all ages, because everybody learns from these things and everybody is invited to participate. So, but I'm happy to be with here just for this week, and for next week I'll be able to be with you in this space. And I wanted to start off with a question. Have you ever done something new? Have you ever been invited to do something new, I should say? Like, you're just kind of around and doing what you normally do, and then somebody says, hey, have you ever been camping before? So I brought some camping stuff here. I didn't think I'd bring the tent today because I thought that would be a little unwieldy. A stove top, that seemed like a little bit much. But I did bring a sleeping bag, a very comfy sleeping bag, and a little lantern. So just some ideas about camping. But I think about the first time Josiah went camping. I'll save that for a second. But at home, think about, like, what are you doing? What's something that you've done that's new? Have you ever, like, have you done camping before where, like, it was something that you maybe... Well, everybody had a first time camping, right? At some point in your life, it was like, oh my gosh, this new thing that we can do and we can go outside and be in tents, that sounds pretty awesome. What do I have to do? Maybe you were a little nervous. Maybe you were a little excited. What was it like? Or maybe there's something else where you were just kind of doing your thing, living your life, and then, hey, you got called or asked to do something new, or an invite from a friend or a family member or maybe from a teacher. You were doing something and now you're doing something else, and this is cool. Maybe it's a little scary. So I was going to tell you about Josiah. Josiah was, I think, 3-ish when he started, and when it was his first time camping, and it was just at the house, just at the at somebody's neighbor's backyard. You know, we were just going out and being, you know, just doing the tent camping outside in the backyard, you know. So it wasn't anything too fancy. But we roasted marshmallows. And he'd never done that before, you know. The thing is that even that camping in the backyard, which I bet some of you all have done before, it's kind of fun. Even then, you're still, especially when you're young, you're learning new skills. Like roasting marshmallows, how to do that safely, you know. How to sleep outside, sleeping in a sleeping bag, you know. How to just be safe around a fire, you know. Maybe just the fact that you're in a strange place and outside and doing something that you've never done before, you know, you kind of have to get used to that. You have to learn. So there's things we have to learn when we do new things. So I was thinking about this when we were thinking about our disciples. Our text this morning is from Mark, and Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's meeting the disciples while they're fishing. You see, the first disciples were fishers. You know, in those days, they're actually still in places, they're fishing with a net. You know, they're not fishing with a pole. They're fishing lots of fish at the same time, and they're throwing their nets, they're pulling them back in, these heavy nets. You have to mend your nets. You have to keep them, you know, intact. You have a lot of work that you have to do. There's a lot of skill that you have to learn to be a good fisher. And here comes Jesus saying, come with me, and I will make you fishers of people. And that's a very different thing. I mean, he uses the word fisher twice, which is kind of fun. But Jesus was calling them to do something new, to participate in his thing that he was doing. What was Jesus doing? He was calling them to listen, to learn, to share God's love, and to heal people. Heal people. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, this is some new stuff. This is very different than throwing nets and casting them, pulling them up and casting nets and pulling them back. Now you're talking to people, healing people, loving people, eating with people, doing things you never thought you would do before, seeing things you never thought you'd see before. This is a very new thing. How do you think they felt? How would you felt if you were in their position? You know, we're disciples too, right? Even today. And the thing about being a disciple is that we're still learning. We're learning. We're spending our whole lives learning these skills, these new ways of being part of this new, exciting adventure that God has called us all to be on. You know, God has this great dream for the world. And when we're called, we get to participate in that. We get to be a part of that dream, which is pretty awesome. But it takes time for us to learn. So I wanted to ask you all this morning, first of all, God, you know, started with them being fishers and said, you'll fish for people. He started with where they were at. So think about this morning. How are you good? What's a skill that you feel comfortable with showing God's love? You know, what is something that you feel comfortable at? What is something you like to do? Maybe it's, you know, drawing pictures, writing letters, you know, giving hugs. There's lots of ways in which you can show love. What are some ways that you're good at? What are some things that you're comfortable with? And then maybe be thinking about maybe like how God might be calling you to learn some new skills, some new ways of showing God's love. Because we're always learning. It's an exciting part of being on the adventure with God. It's that it never stops. It just keeps going. And there's always more to see and do and learn. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, thank you for inviting us and welcoming us to your great adventure of life. Help us always to listen and to learn and to keep listening and to keep learning and to never stop. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
A reading from Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And a reading from Mark 1, verses 14 through 20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
How about now? There we go. All right. Well, as I was saying, the other day I was cleaning out my desk and I found this old watch. And it's not a fancy watch, but it was a watch I wore for most of my life while I was in high school and college. And, you know, after I got a cell phone, I didn't really need it anymore, you know, so stopped wearing it, and I'm guessing I just kind of threw it in a box and forgot about it and never looked at it again. So, but as you can imagine, it doesn't work anymore. So, Amy's been asking me to get rid of some junk, so here we go. First item that we can get rid of. But it did leave me wondering why I was hanging on to it for so long. You know, you think you just kind of accumulate things over time, but I found it an interesting metaphor because I've been thinking about time this week. So I've kind of had it with me all week as kind of an image, a symbol, as we've been thinking about this text, this time, this thing about time. Because in the passage that we read from Mark, it's Jesus is announcing the beginning of the ministry of him preaching the good news and walking through the countryside and gathering followers. And, you know, he starts it all off by saying the time has been fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. And I think this is something that's worth paying attention to, this idea of time. It's not something that you normally hear preach about, I know. But I feel like right now, especially while we're all in this pandemic state, we've all been kind of collectively experiencing time a little bit differently than we used to. There's been a change in our routines. Our schedules, the things that kind of mark time for us normally, that's all been kind of wiped away and changed. And, you know, there's so many different ways our world's been turned upside down. You know, it's caused us to live our lives even more so than before, just through screens and from our homes. And while that's been a great gift, it's also kind of sort of leads to this feeling of just one day after the next, that everything just kind of blends together. Or maybe for some of you, it might feel more like time is just kind of ticking by without anything really happening. Maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you're not as busy as you used to be because a lot of your activities that you normally do have been canceled. And so you have a lot more free time. Some of us have less free time, some of us have more free time. And either way, it kind of messes with our sense of time. And maybe worse, you just feel like the time is broken. It's not even moving. Time is just kind of stopped. I don't know. Is this feeling familiar? This idea of kind of this interminable, forever waiting. If nothing else, we're just waiting for this time to be over. But, you know, there's a lot of other ways that time has not always, has been experienced a little bit differently, especially in recent, well, at least I'm paying attention to it more, I guess, personally. But I think for a lot of people, I think we have to be honest that the last 4 years have had a collective effect on us as Americans, where we have to be honest about it, that the lines between life and entertainment, truth and salesmanship, these lines have been blurred, and it's all been very disturbingly disorienting. And I think this week, you know, probably feels for many of us like we're turning a chapter in the story of our country that we'd like to forget. The fact of the matter is that it happened. You know, the seeds of discord, the seeds of enmity, the seeds of division that have been sown in this country are still there. We're going to be continuing to reap that for years to come. So we can't just push the reset button on time and just start it over. So that's another thing. The other thing is a lot of us in the country are feeling the hopelessness of being unable to make ends meet. You know, even maybe before the pandemic, you're feeling this sense of a fast-moving world. Time is just moving. It's on autopilot, and you're unable to cope with it. Now, you add to that this feeling of when is this pandemic going to be over? I mean, it's especially hard for those who are looking for work and are unable to find it right now. People who have no idea when the end of this is going to come and might feel a little bit hopeless at times. And then there are those, and there's another way in which many of us might be feeling like we're in a time loop, especially those who have suffered racial, social injustice and who have worked for change for years, and we keep reliving and rehashing the same moments. And another person, another black person becomes lynched, and another treaty gets ignored, and another slur gets shouted, scratched into the earth, tweeted. It's like time is on autopilot, on repeat. How does time feel for you right now? Maybe take a moment in the chat box or just in your notes at home. You know, think about how you're experiencing time right now. And that obviously changes from time to time. Maybe sometimes you're feeling this sense of time's moving too slow, it's moving too fast. I feel a little hopeless. I feel like time is kind of standing still and I'm frozen, or that it's repeating itself. But then other times you might be feeling a little more hopeful. Maybe not necessarily happy, but at least are able to find some joy in all of this. Some sense of peace, or that you're spending time well. It's time well spent, I don't know. But it's probably a combination of all these things. But where are you right now? You can write that in the chat. You can, you can email it to me later, of course. But I'm going to try to check out the chat here a little bit later. It's been really interesting to hear from you all what you're thinking and how you might be experiencing time. Speaking of time, we're in a particular time in the Christian calendar. We're in the season of Epiphany. Still in the season of Epiphany. I know that was a couple of weeks ago when it began, but we're in this season actually for a few more weeks until Lent, which begins in mid-February. And so I thought it fits with the theme, the idea of time. Epiphany is about God showing up in our time. God showing up in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and coming and announcing a new thing, a new day, a new way. It's good news. As Jesus says in the beginning of Mark, he becomes in and announces his ministry, he announces his intentions, the new thing that he's starting. The time is fulfilled. The time is here. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. This good news of the kingdom of God. It's here. And we need to stop for a second and say, talk about time again, because the word for time is important. There's two words in Greek for time. You may know this, but chronos time is watch time. It's where we get the word chronology. In Greek, it's chronos. And chronos time is the time that we measure with, well, working versions of this. It's seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the months. The time that we can measure, the time that we can schedule, the time that we can divide out and assign tasks, the time with which we have the illusion, at least, of control, and the time that dictates the most of our lives, our day-to-day lives. Then there's this other word. The word that's used here is called kairos time. And if you have studied it before, you know that kairos is about the appointed time, God's time, the time of fulfillment. Time that cannot be scheduled, controlled, manipulated in any way. It can't be measured. Epiphany is about kairos time. So Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee among fishing communities there. That's where he began his ministry. And inviting people along the way to journey with him. He has brought a new time, a new way, and he's inviting people to join. And it was a weird, strange, awkward, uneasy time in Judea and Galilee. Then, not exactly like it is now, but in a different way. It was a time of a lot of civil unrest, political unrest. It was a time of a lot of economic changes that were happening in Galilee specifically. There was the tribute systems there were being put in place in new ways that was growing the wealth gap between the rich and the poor. That's a lot like now. And so it was an uneasy time, and people had trouble making ends meet, and fishers were part of the system, caught up in it. And Galilee, a lot of people were trying to respond to it. Some people were trying to there were a lot of scriptures that they would be referring back to. The day of the Lord is referred to in the prophets. And so people were hoping for this. This is a kairos moment. And they're thinking, well, eventually God's going to fix this or make it better or change things. And so there was a lot of hope that the prophet, the word of the prophet would be fulfilled, that the day of the Lord would come. And so there were prophets and teachers and would-be messiahs that started popping up and saying that the time was coming near. And so there's a lot of kind of hope, expectation that something's going to change. Time is going to change. And this is where we find Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John in the middle of their work, doing the thing that they always do, casting their nets, pulling them back in, mending their nets, doing what they did, living their time, living that day to day. How do you think that they experienced it? It's hard for us to put ourselves back into that, into 2,000 years ago in the Mediterranean. You know, it's a little bit, it's not our culture, it's not our time. But I can imagine that there may have been a sense of, I don't know, just trying to make it day to day. Living your life, doing your job, hoping that the fish bite, or I shouldn't say bite, it's a net, but I hope that the fish get caught and that we will have enough so that we can support our families. Or maybe at some point you just kind of feel hopeless and resigned. Well, this is just the way things are. I don't know what that felt like. It's hard for us to imagine that back then, what they might be feeling, but we might know a thing or two about feeling hopeful and maybe feeling at times hopeless. Maybe they were listening to some of these messiahs and prophets and speakers coming around and saying, hey, that sounds pretty good. That doesn't sound so bad. Maybe we should speed up this coming of the day of the Lord a little bit and get things going. Maybe do some overthrowing. That does happen later on in the story, especially in Judea. There's multiple revolts. So they could have done that, or they may have been sympathetic to that, but it doesn't say here. But either way, Jesus meets them in their time, in their space, in their chronos, and says, hey, fishers, hey, how's it going? Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. For both sets of brothers, the Bible is really interesting that it says immediately for both of them. The word immediately is there. They left their nets. They dropped whatever they were doing. They left their businesses. They left their families. The time that they had been living in, waiting in, had been interrupted. And they immediately responded. Responded to live into something new. And this is the key. Because, you know, Jesus hadn't taught, he hadn't healed, he hadn't done anything yet to compel them, but there was something about this being this invitation to participate in something new that compelled them to leave everything that they knew behind. And so this is what I wanted to look at this Epiphany season, these next 2 weeks, while I have the chance, the opportunity to be here with you all, just to take a moment to think about this idea of participating in the revelation of Jesus. Because we are living in this appointed Kairos time. We call ourselves disciples because we are following in the footsteps of these same disciples. We are led by the Spirit of God, just as they were led by the physical person of Jesus. But we are led all the same into participating into something new. It's really important for us, I think, as a church, not just St. Matthew's, but as a worldwide church, as a church of this country, to realize and to recognize and to accept this idea of that the kingdom of God is here. It's something that happened. The grammar suggests it's something that happened. Its effects are going on. It's still in the process of becoming and developing and growing, but it's here in a very important way. And the early church lived into that reality too. You see this in the stories in Acts. They lived into the reality of the community of God. They believed that when Jesus called them the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that they were called to participate in what God was doing. So they shared their possessions and they were generous to the poor and they spoke out against corruption and violence and they healed and they brought communities together and they endured persecution with songs and prayer and fellowship. We're still living in that time, this Kairos time. You know, 2,000 years feels in Chronos time interminably long. It makes no sense. But we don't live in Chronos time. Well, we do, actually. We do live in Chronos time, but that's not God's time. We live in Kairos time. And, you know, how we experience that will vary from day to day. Sometimes we can pray the prayer that we heard this morning from Peg. For God, my soul waits in silence. My hope is from God. God is my rock and salvation. I shall not be shaken. And sometimes we can feel and wait with that hope. And then other times we need another psalm. We need Psalm 13. It goes, how long? How long, O Lord, will we be doing this? How long will you hide your face from me? Will you forget me forever? Will you forget us forever? That's a prayer too. We live in the day-to-day. We live in this Chronos time. We have not escaped the hardships of life. We still live in a pandemic. We live in a country divided. Many people here in this country are radicalized, seeking to bring about the fulfillment of time that they seek through violent means. We still live in a country marred by terrible, unsustainable imbalance, where even before COVID hit, 700 people a day were dying already from poverty-related causes. We live in a country where your income level and your gender identification and your skin color largely determine where you can live, what you can eat, what education you can get, what health problems you might have, and whether or not you can afford to address them. And whether or not law enforcement or others will be primed to see you as a threat. And here's the key. As disciples of God, as followers of Christ, as children of the Epiphany, we're living in the revelation. We are living in this Kairos time. Jesus came. The kingdom of God came near. We are not waiting for another epiphany or another Messiah to give us or some great hope of a rescue. Because our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Christ, who made a community among us, who gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could be internally renewed in love to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. I think this is really important right now, especially with where things are in our country and where the church is in our country. There are two great temptations that are being spread by false prophets and profiteers that are taking advantage of people's spiritual fervor and imagination, as well as the weight and the exhaustion and the fear that they feel by living interminably in chronos time. The first great temptation is to disengage. To throw our hands up and say, God's going to deal with things, and you don't have to do with anything because God's got it. Or to see justice, injustice and suffering and say, you know, God has a plan for that. Somehow God is using all of that for good. So that's all I need. Or, well, you can't believe everything you hear. Or to only trust sources. No matter the evidence, no matter the source, but to only trust those that peddle God's name, which then opens them up to deception and manipulation in the name of God. Or, you know, it could be to criticize others and say, yeah, racial injustice is a problem, but and COVID's a real disease and a terrible thing. I'll acknowledge all of that. But really, at the end of the day, mandating masks? That's infringing upon my freedom. Or, you know, racial injustice is a problem, but, you know, demonstrating in the streets and causing a ruckus and letting people know about the, you know, that's not the way to deal with this. That's too much. This is not the right time to deal with this. You know, maybe deal with it a different way or at a different time. You know, this is exactly what Martin Luther King was saying 50 years ago in his letter from a Birmingham jail. He called it the white moderate's, quote, mythical concept of time. The one who constantly advises to wait for a more convenient season. So that was happening 50 years ago, and it's still happening today. Where I don't want to throw stones here completely, because at the end of the day, we all feel that weight, that impatience, and that sense of helplessness. But when we feel the weight of time and begin to feel helpless to its march, or begin to grow numb to the outside world, like it just stopped, we must be careful to not fall into the temptation to then just disengage and say, well, you know what? There's nothing I can do. Especially when we have some modicum of power or privilege that affords us a means of escape or distraction. Not all of us have that privilege. So that's one temptation. The other temptation is on the other side. It's born out of that impatience to the interminable march of chronos time, and you begin to feel frustration and fear and anger. And the temptation then is to just give up on Kairos and to take chronos into your own hands. You know, followers of Christ are called to live in the Kairos time of God that seeks the healing of the world. There's action involved that, you know, can include, rightly so, frustration and anger at times, at the way things are, because it's motivated out of love, you see. That's the difference. It's motivated on taking care of communities and each other. And it leads to nonviolent direct action. But there are also times when somebody might feel that temptation to not just feel frustrated at the situation, but to now take out their anger on scapegoats, or to blame others, or to find people to blame, find your scapegoats, or to find, worse, a savior. And this is what we saw several weeks ago when an angry mob stormed the Capitol, where Christian symbols Christian language was intermixed with symbols of hate and violence. Where we saw the result of stoking of fears by a national media machine that has run on the 400-year history of racism and patriarchy and xenophobia. Where a golden calf, a messiah figure of their own making, would somehow magically rescue them and their and this country from their own frustrations and woes. Forcing the fulfillment of time. So those are the two temptations that we have to watch out for. Next week we're going to come back together and look at how these passages in the following section in Mark set the path for the disciple, which is the path that we're walking even today. As we strive to live in God's time, what does that look like? What does it even mean? How do we actually do this? But I want to first start off by talking about what's at stake for us as a church today. Because we have to give up both false gospels before we can go further. The false gospel of turning Christology or Christianity into an escape strategy, abnegating all responsibility to others in the world, and then of using Christianity to baptize divisiveness and hatred and violence. We have to push both of these aside. We have to say to both of them, this is not the gospel. Both ideologies are present and real in the church today. We cannot ignore them as idle threats. Because we're not called to just wait idly by. We're not called to take matters into our own hands. There's a middle path, a higher path, called discipleship. We're called to participate in what the Spirit is doing in us and in the world through us. We're called to live in the epiphany of Jesus Christ. We're called to love deeply, and to contribute to the creation of beloved community through this work, the work of revolutionary love. The question is whether or not we will hear, let alone answer that call. And we're going to talk more about that next Sunday. But I want to end with some questions. You can close your eyes and just listen, or you can type in the chat. How do you listen for God? How do you know where to step? What is your prayer? Are you waiting for a roadmap? Are you waiting for explicit instructions? Or are you tuning your heart? Coming before God and tuning your heart to hear the song of grace and love that is playing. Where will that lead us? Where might that lead us? Join me in prayer. God of the appointed time, give us the grace respond to what we see, to live into your time. Christ, you show us the way. And while it may not always appear clear in front of us, we know that we make the road by walking. So show us your grace and help us to live in response to your time. When we live in a nation and a world that needs your love, may we not run and hide. May we not give up. May we not lash out. May we not blame. May we seek to see the world through the eyes of love, the eyes of your Spirit. Help us to see the steps that might be right in front of us that we may not have noticed. Help us to see the gifts that we have that we might be able to share. Help us to recognize the needs or to feel those needs that are on our hearts in such a way that we find a way to respond. May we be your loving hands and feet. In your name, O Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
as we prepare to respond to God's grace together, let's remember that that's exactly what we're called to do as the people of Christ, the children of the way, the people of the resurrection, who by our life in the Spirit create the beloved community together. The first disciples were former fishers. God called them from where they were as they were to participate in the work, into something new, to heal and proclaim, to love. We are all called to that work, but from our own places and times, using the gifts that we have, and maybe the gifts that we didn't even know we had until we had the courage to try by the power of the Spirit. There's so many people in this community that faithfully give their prayers and their loving presence and their gifts and their service to the life of this community. And I know I echo Pastor Janu when I express my gratitude and thankfulness for you all. And for those of you who have had to learn Zoom and become Zoom technicians and didn't ever think you would, or learn how to use YouTube, learn how to use, as the case of Sunday school teachers, using slides and Google Jamboard, you know who I'm talking about. Thank you. Thank you for all the ways in which you give yourselves and you continue to learn and respond, especially in this challenging time. Join me together in the prayer of grace, a prayer of offering. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amounts of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with grateful hearts. Amen. Okay. Looks like I have the prayer requests here. That's wonderful. Thank you to Connie for getting those to me. So let's enter a time of prayer together. In a moment, we'll vocalize the prayer requests. But I wanted to start off by maybe remembering the star word. Did you all pick one yet? I'm sure that many of you have already done this, but today I grabbed one, imagination, which I think is a good one for me. I want to remember to have imagination in my prayers and in my responses to this time. I feel like that is something that God might be calling me to. But if you have a star word or if you haven't done that yet, you can go online and get one, or there's stars here at the church that you can pick up. But maybe think about your star word for a moment as we come together in prayer. And maybe just think of that as a seed. Imagine that you're holding your star or your star word as a seed, and just take a moment and plant it into your heart. Plant it as your heart is soil. And maybe repeat the word to yourself. Maybe recall why you picked that word in the first place. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you just felt led to do so. But keep saying the word to yourself. And imagine that this seed is growing, like a little plant coming out and growing in us, growing us into something new. As we prepare to pray together and to lift up our thoughts, our concerns, our things that are laying on our hearts, both our joys and our fears, may we remember that we continue to grow together, and that the Spirit of God that helps us grow also connects us and binds us with the Spirit of God, in whom all things are made new. I'd like to pray some prayer words for our prayer this morning, and these words are from Richard Fairchild. And I'm going to say, Lord, after every refrain, I will say, Lord, in your love. And if you could respond with our common refrain, this is our prayer, that would be wonderful. A way for you to continue to respond and pray with us together this morning. And then towards the end, we will get to the prayer requests. So So join with me together in prayer. Eternal God, you are the maker of us all. We are your creation. We are formed in your image as individuals, as a community, formed and fed, furnished with an understanding of who you are and of who and whose we are. We worship you today in recognition of your calling. You're communicating, you're caring to invite us to share in your creative healing work. We are here because we have heard you speak in us and through others. Help us, Lord, to respond to you and to your grace. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. God, of all our moments, of all our days and nights, you speak and act in the world around us. Not only to call all people to you, but also to direct and guide us in the way of healing and wholeness. Awaken us, O Lord, to hear what you would say to us. Help us to open our ears, our eyes, our hearts to your presence. Help us to know when it is your voice we are hearing and when it is our prejudices and desires which we are paying heed. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. Lord, we pray that your church may rise up with renewed commitment in answer to your call, that your people may be instruments of your grace and love. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. We pray for those who consider themselves inadequate and dismiss or avoid your calling in their lives. Give them a new vision, a vision in which you are their strength and their hope. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. We pray for those who, in answering your call, must leave the unknown, the known for the unknown, the oasis for the desert, comfortable for the uncertain. Grant them courage and steadfast faith. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. We pray too today, O Lord, for those in want and in need, and for those of us in the larger community who suffer or celebrate. And so today, this morning, we lift up in prayer before you the prayer of Susan Lasante. Lord, please refill the cup of all those around the world whose souls are starving. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. The prayer of Hal Arthur. I pray for the respect of our flag and the true symbol of peace in our country. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. From the St. Matthew's family, I'm not sure who sent this, but it's blessings to Dot and the Boston Share Network as they celebrate 17 years of service to the poor, marginalized, and homeless in Boston. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. To Susan Evans and others, there's prayers of gratitude by Susan Evans and others for all that Peggy and George McCullough contribute to the trustees and to St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. Lord, in your love,
this is our prayer.
From Andrea Bonner, a prayer of thanksgiving and joy that Lynn has joined the team of shepherds. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. From Judith Ann Keene, continued prayers for my cousin Harriet. She is now able to sit up, which is wonderful. Has a little movement in her arms. We're thankful for the physical therapists who've been working with her. Lord, in your love.
This is our prayer.
From Dot Worst, I ask for prayers from our Congress that they will work together for the good of our country. Lord, in your love. From Hal again, I pray for forgiveness and not retribution by our leaders. Lord, in your love, this is our prayer. From Judith Ann Keene, I ask for continuing prayers for my friend David, who has now been put on oxygen and has started chemo for his lung cancer.
Lord, in your love.
This is our prayer.
From Jennifer Zook, continued prayers for those navigating the challenges of isolation and lack of financial security during these tumultuous times. Please pray for those facing complex medical diagnoses during this time, especially those fighting cancer. And also prayers for James's sister and her church community. Her pastor's father, the cornerstone of their congregation, passed away from COVID yesterday. Lord, in your love. I also want to lift up the birthdays that we have coming up and for the lives of Owen and Zeke Gerges and for Charlotte Nims, who are both all celebrating birthdays this week, and also for Katie Taylor, who is a recent graduate of St. Matthew's. Lord, in your love, thank you for their lives. This is our prayer. Loving Creator, Mother, and Father of all, bless us all with an abundant faith, a fruitful ministry, a joyful life. Bless us and all those who gather together to continue the work of Jesus, who came to heal, save, deliver us all, who taught us to pray as one family, saying, our ever-loving God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the peace and love of Christ be with you all. You are now encouraged to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Well, as I said before, it's a privilege to be with you all this morning. Thank you all so much for worshiping with us. We have a few announcements before we go. I'd like to one more time to thank all the worship leaders and for Peg and for Susan and Wayne that are here with me this morning. Also to James and Jenny who taped a few things for us this morning, and they'll be back live with us next week, I believe. So that will be wonderful. But thank you to everybody who helps put this service together every week. You all know, I know you know how much work it takes to put it all together, but it's hard to fathom unless you're here to see it all happen, come together. So we want to thank everybody who works to make this happen. And again, for the worship leaders who come and volunteer to help with the worship service, helping Pastor Janu as well, just thank you so much. I want to thank you on his behalf. And remember also to, for those of you that are visitors, you have not been here before, we want to welcome you again. And just to say that if you need more information about the service, you can go online. There's a website, St. Matthews, it's saint-matthews.org. And you can go there. The church web address is in the description below the video, so you can go and check that out. Pastor Janu, as we noted, is already on study leave and vacation. He'll be gone from January 18th, so already been on leave this week. And he'll be gone until after February 7th, I think. So if you need pastoral care support during this time, the Reverend Amy Lundy Whitler over from South Acton Church, who I happen to know, she will be available to you. And her email, if you want to reach out to her, is revamy@southactonchurch.com. And so you can reach out to her if there's any prayer requests or pastoral care that you need during this time. And you can also leave a note for Pastor Janu. He may not be able to get to your email right away, but when he gets back, I'm sure he would love to reach out to you. So his email is joyofnewengland, all one word, @gmail.com. So you can also, it's okay for that to wait, or if you would rather speak to Janu, you can use that email. But he may not get back to you until February, which would be good, because he needs his break. Next week, we are going to try to do this all live. The worship team, as we mentioned, has been working really hard the last few months. And one of the ways that we're trying to do to make this something that we can continue doing for the foreseeable future is to make it easier to get some help and make this a little bit more accessible for those who are working to be able to, you know, there's a, to help the learning curve a little bit. And so one of the ways to do that is to create an all-live service. And so next week we're going to give it a try, and, you know, hope, just let us know how you think, what you think about it, how, what the experience is. I know the last couple of weeks we've all been wearing masks, which, you know, as rates are continuing to spike and as the reentry team has evaluated the situation, we're wearing masks in the service now and, you know, trying to keep safe with each other. If you're having issues hearing or if there's any issues with your experience of the service that we might be able to help with in any way, just let us know. Drop us a line. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Because we'd love to hear it. We can't fix every problem. You know, it is what it is. But also, if there's something that we can do to help improve your experience of worship, we would love to do that. So a couple of other things that are happening. One is you'll find a lot of these already in your weekly email, so you can go and look at that. But you'll notice one of them is the Prayer Beyond Boundaries. You can also go on the website to get more information about all these things. But there's two music videos that are going to be broadcast live. And they're based off of two timeless wisdom teachings. One is the Love Your Neighbor, and the other is the Lord's Prayer. And these are going to be interfaith Jewish-Christian musical experiences, and they're going to weave together a lot of musical styles and choral motifs all together into this really amazing, energizing prayer experience. And so there's going to be a dialogue that follows that between Jewish and Christian clergy. They're going to be sharing their experiences together, so it should be an amazing experience. And at the premiere, you'll get a chance to meet the composer and the conductor and the musicians. So it's worth your time. The world premiere viewing is during World Interfaith Harmony Week, which is during February 1st through 7th. And to get more information on that, you can see your announcement email. You can go to our website for details. You can also go to their website, which is onespiritfoundation.org, which is all one word. So onespiritfoundation.org. And again, that's on our website and on the weekly email. Boston Share Network, which we were talking about in the chat a little bit, you know, that they're hosting a virtual Valentine Coffee House on February 13th at 6 p.m. And it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun and opportunities to do some, a little talent show. It sounds like, you know, those who performed at the Spaghetti Supper in the past, you can bring your talents again. Those who were not there before can bring their talents anew and share all together. But Dotwurst is very excited to see all that come together and all that hard work come together and to have a little community and a little fun. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun on having a virtual Valentine's Coffee House together. That's February 13th at 6 o'clock. If you have any questions, if you want to sign up to perform, then you can email Dotwurst. And I'm hoping it's okay for me to share your email here, Dot. It's dzwurst, W-E-R-S-T, dzwurst@gmail.com. And so you can reach out to her if you would like to sign up or have questions about the event. Before we go, I wanted to mention also that the Anti-Racism Ecumenical Collaborative group that I've had the privilege of being able to be a part of for the last year and a half or so. It's a collaboration of folks from several churches in the area, including St. Matthew's, and we've become a community together that's exploring what it means to be anti-racism and what it means to be anti-racist in this time. You know, we recognize it's an ongoing work. That's part of it, is that we need community to stay focused on the task of tuning our hearts a little bit differently to combat the stereotypes and the prejudices that we receive in this culture. And so we're reading a book together. We're starting a new book group, and it's by Valerie Kaur, The See No Stranger, a memoir manifesto of revolutionary love. Really amazing so far, what I've had the chance to read so far. People who I've talked to so far who have had the chance to read it have really loved it. So if you're interested in participating, it's a very come-as-you-are, whether you've done anti-racism work in the past, whether you're kind of a seasoned activist, or whether this is kind of a new thing for you, you're welcome to come. And you can come as you are. You don't have to read every... If you miss a reading, I should say, then you're still welcome to come and participate. And so that's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Starting this week. It won't be every Tuesday, but we'll have a schedule here coming up pretty soon. And the way to get more information on that is to email me. And my email is joshlw, J-O-S-H-L-W, at saint-matthews.org. So that's joshlw at saint-matthews.org. Or you can look at the weekly news, and it's got the link there. So I want to remind everybody again to join us for the virtual coffee hour that will be following this service. The Zoom code is in the description for the YouTube video, and the password is coffee hour, all one word. So we would love to sit and chat and reflect on the passage and maybe just reflect on life and share with each other. Whatever you have on your heart, we'd love to share and chat together at the end of the service. It's been wonderful to be with you all, and I'm now going to grab my guitar real quick as we prepare to be blessed and sent out into the world together. And I appreciate you all bearing with me with my guitar. It is a blessing. It's truly a blessing to be able to gather in the name of Christ. Thank you all for making the time and the space in your lives. I would like to leave you the words that I've shared in blessing before is, may the Lord bless you and keep you wherever you are sent. May you be guided in the wilderness and protected in the storms of life. May God bring you home rejoicing from the wonders that you've been shown. May God bring you home rejoicing once again into our love, into our arms. May we go in peace to love and serve God and neighbor. Amen. See if I remember the words.
May the grace and peace of Christ be with you, my friend. Go and share the love of God. Love.